Here we are again, right? Another Sunday morning. Beautiful day. Lord blessed us this week. We had, I think I stopped by almost every night just to see how things were going for the Vacation Bible School, and it looked like there was a lot of activity going on here. A lot of kids. What was exciting to see was the amount of workers here, you know, that really ministered. And so that says a lot to us as a church when we see the importance of reaching children for the gospel and for the kingdom. It certainly is an exciting thing to see. It was certainly exciting to see the enthusiasm in the kids as they were explained about the gospel, God being the creator of heaven and earth and his things, and all the different animals that came in, they were able to see some of his creation. I kind of got a thrill out of that, you know, and I know that there was a couple of them that I looked at, and I seen the spider rolling up and down his woman's hands, and I thought, whoa, man. You know, I don't mind spiders, but that was a big spider. But praise God for this past week and how he ministered to us as a church, and continue to pray for the young lives that were witness to and that we're explaining the gospel to. We have many kids that obviously are God's touching and wanting to bring to himself. So, but we're here this morning to study the Gospel of John again. And so what I'd like to do is just open us up in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on us together as we get into his word, okay? So let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much again for such a beautiful day that you blessed us with, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you as a church for how you minister to so many little kids this past week, Lord. Father, for the excitement that was going through the halls of the church, this auditorium, to fellowship hall. Lord, what a wonderful time, Lord, for our church, and to see all the workers who participated. Lord, I want to thank you for their servant's heart. I want to thank you for their love for children. And thank you, Lord, for all the children that came. And we want to pray, Lord, for those that you had touched this past week. Lord, for the seeds that were planted in many young hearts this week. And we pray and believe, Lord, that someday, Lord, that many of these children will come to saving faith. Lord, as your Holy Spirit participates in the work of salvation, Lord, as the seeds were sown, Lord, that you would bring about new birth to these young people. Thank you, Lord, for this past week. Thank you for how you answered our prayer as a church, Lord, as we've been praying for this ministry, Lord, and we pray for the fruits of it, Lord. Father, now we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity again to open up your word. And, Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for your help this morning. Lord, we can't teach or we can't even learn if you're not with us. And we thank you for the very promise where you have said, where two or three gather together in the midst of us, there you are. And so we welcome you here this morning, Lord, and we need you this morning. And we ask for your help, Lord, in teaching. I pray for each Sunday school teacher, Lord, that you'll empower them, give them great wisdom and discernment, Lord, for the study that they've done this past week in preparation for this hour. More than anything else, Lord, we want your words to do what you intended it to do, and that is to correct us, instruct us, to encourage us. Lord, for even for some who may be here today, Lord, and some of the children that may be here, Lord, for those who have not quite come to faith, Lord, we pray that by the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And so we pray for your work to be done today. Help us, Lord, now as we look at this great chapter of John 3. Lord, as we take our journey through it, Lord, we pray for your teaching, Lord, to instruct us this morning, Lord, of what it means to be born again. And, Lord, I want to pray, Lord, even now, Lord, we want to pray together. Lord, our church wants to lift up our dear brother, Mike Tiberi, Lord. Pray for him, Lord, as he has prepared for preaching the word today. Lord, our focus is not so much on a man. Lord, our focus wants to be on you and you alone. And so, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, those singing special music today, those, Lord, who are playing the instrument, those who are reading the Word of God, those who are praying and leading the congregation in prayer, for the preaching of your Word, Lord, we pray that all this would be done to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So bless, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, for those, even for visitors to come today, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, that you'll draw them into this place. Because in this place, Lord, we seek to tell the truth in love. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, for anointing of your Spirit. Again, we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, if you'll again turn to John chapter 3. And as I do always, I would like to go ahead and read the text that we're in. And so I'm going to go ahead and read verses. Actually, I'm going to start at verse chapter 22 at verse 23 and read it all the way up to verse 13. John 2:23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come for God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So again, I want to remind you what we covered last week, and again remind you again of the purpose of John's gospel. It's really to present Jesus Christ as God the Son. And that presenting him to us, that we might believe and have eternal life. This is what he says in John chapter 20, verse 31. That's the purpose of this particular book. And now, as we've seen from last week, as we come to this particular chapter, I said that we'll see Jesus basically in three different roles. And the first one that we're discovering right here, that we're covering, is that of a teacher. And then we're going to see him as the bridegroom later on, and then as the witness. So last week we came and we talked about this very thing, that the last couple of verses of chapter 2 is really a transition to John chapter 3. Because it says that while he remained there in Jerusalem after cleansing the temple, and they came to the next feast, is that he was performing miracles and teaching the Word of God. And then it says there that many started to believe in him. But what's so key right here, that where he says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. In fact, he knew what was in man. It says that. He knew what was in their hearts. And then right from that statement, then we now see Nicodemus coming by night. And we see this one, and as we talked about last week, he came at night because he probably wanted the full attention of Jesus. I mean, by this time, Jesus is being mauled over by all kinds of people. I mean, it's crowded. And we also believe that he was probably sent by the rest of the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. You know, here's one that just cleaned out the temple. I mean, he really shook things up. And so the leaders now then want to find out who is this one, and particularly after they see the miracles. And so we see then at verse 1 right here when Nicodemus comes and he says, verse 2 it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, as we said last week, there had been 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to this point. There had been 400 years of silence. Israel has not heard or seen a prophet, except for John the Baptist has now been on the scene. And what did he do? He was preparing the way. I mean, that's what he said. He made it very clear. I'm not that prophet. I'm not the Messiah. What I'm doing is preparing the way. And then all of a sudden, there is Jesus appears. And he says, there he is, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And he gives testimony that the very purpose of my ministry was to prepare the way for this one. And so that he then comes he comes to Jesus, says, we've never seen this before. It's been 400. There hasn't been a miracle of the Old Testament for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden we see this in front of us. And then what's interesting we talked about last week was that Jesus answers him. And we said, well, where was the question? He didn't ask a question. He was making a statement. And the point was there was that Jesus was looking right in his heart. That's who he is. He's God the Son and knows all things. He knows every thought and intention of the heart. And he knows that this man comes, and this man is a Pharisee, and we said that he was a master. Jesus calls him master, meaning teacher. I mean, he was of the Sanhedrin, and he was well up there in position. But he comes with a question in his own heart. It's got to be bothered by him that he still, with everything that he's ever done as a Pharisee. I mean, this man was religious as you could ever get. You can't get any more religious than what this man was. And yet there's emptiness in his heart and there's a question. And Jesus looks right at him and he just blows him away with this. He says, unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you'll not see the kingdom of God. And we talked about that somewhat. Wow, this must have floored him. What do you mean? I mean, what is it that I'm lacking? And that's what I've come to find out from you. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. That's what I've come here for. I've got this question in my heart, and you're looking right at it. And now you're telling me that everything that I've ever done is for naught? I mean, I'm a teacher. I'm well respected. I've held to the law. I'm moral. I've done everything that I've held all the ordinances. I mean, I've lived a good life, Jesus, and now you're telling me, and it just floored him. Basically, we're saying that, you know, we talked about this last week. Jesus gets right on me. He says, look, it's not religion. What you represent, Nicodemus, is religion. And so he's floored by this. Religion, really, as we talked about last week, is something that Satan has brought about. It's a false way of us seeking God and knowing God in a personal way, because what it is, it's a religion of works, do's and don'ts, and if I do all these things, then God will accept me. You know, he'll look at, and that's, we said this last week, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the way of destruction. To the natural man, and what he's being fed as a lie, it's his religion is what makes him right with God. And you're going to see all the way through this as we go through this Gospel of John, you're going to see this just building and building and building with the confrontation he has with the religious leaders. But he blows this man away. Looks right in his heart. And he says to him, Nicodemus, you need to start all over again. And by the way, Nicodemus, I'm going to teach you about it. I'm going to teach you what it means to be born again. And then he gives these four examples, really, of what it means to be regenerated or born again. And we started to look at these last week. And the very first one that we talked about last week was this. He uses the analogy of a birth, something that we're all familiar with. And we talked about this last week. You know, all of us are results of a physical birth. Okay? And we have two parents, a mother and a dad. But the gift of life comes from above. But you as an individual had no choice in the matter whatsoever. It was graciously given to you. It wasn't you deciding that someday at some eternity past, well, I'm going to be born a physical person. And we had no choice in the matter. It was only because of the very fact of God's goodness and grace that you and I experience life today. And so he uses this analogy. He says, I want you to know, Nicodemus, just like a physical birth, you had no choice in the matter. That when you were given life, there was your mom and your dad, and it was the grace of God, the miracle of birth. And it's unique. All of us, basically, I mean, still, they're the wonder of the miracle of birth. Now, as a man, I can't explain all that, and some of you men have had the privilege of being there when your wife gave birth. But you were experienced, you're part of it. You saw all the things that had to happen. And so he gives this analogy then of birth. And see, when he speaks about being born again, we talked about this last week, is that when you talk to an individual about being born again, the very first thing they want to do is what? They want to talk about their religion. They don't understand these things. Well, I go to this such and such church, or I was baptized here, or I did all these things here. You know, I'm like Nicodemus, I'm of a Pharisee. I mean, I'm a teacher. And you're looking right at me, Jesus, and telling me that I've got to start all over again, that I don't have it. Well, remember, in his heart, there had to be that emptiness and that question. Because as we talked about last week, that's what religion does to you. It's empty. It never fulfills. What's the next expectation? What's the next level that I had to get to? It's such a burden. It weighs the soul down. Because it's not the right way. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to see that when we're born again, we're born as unto God for good works. And there's things about being like Jesus. And we're going to talk about the nature. We're not going to talk about religion. We're going to talk about the nature. When you're born again, the nature that you're given. So think about Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, meaning eternity. This had to be a question of his heart. You see, as we talked about earlier, that when Jesus explains the new birth, look what he says right here. Look at verse. Well, first of all, Nicodemus says unto him, and you gotta look into this. He says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? You see, that's what the natural mind thinks. It can't think of things on a spiritual realm because it's spiritually discerned. Because until we are born again, regenerated, we are spiritually blinded. We're dead spiritually. We can't understand these kind of things. See, as I mentioned before, there's two parents for spiritual birth. And the very first one we see right here in verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. By the way, I mentioned last week too is that we're going to see again that he asks Jesus a second time, how can these things be? And then Jesus just comes right down and says, hey, look, you are a teacher and you don't know these things? I mean, here's a man who his life is committed to the study of the scriptures and knowing that. And so we talked about, he probably talking about references out of Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to turn in there a little bit, but he, all through Old Testament, there's passage of scriptures after passage of scriptures that speak of the very fact that God would come and give them a new heart and that his spirit would come and dwell within them, that he would give life. And so that's why he says to Nicodemus, well, you should know these things. Well, turn with me over to James chapter 1. And I want to look at these two parents that we look at that brings us to faith. James chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where?
From the Father above.
From above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, which is when whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see, when he talks about back here in John chapter 3 about born of the water and of the Spirit, the water that he's speaking about here, and let me just clear this. He's not talking about, some people look at this analogy and say, well, there he is. He's talking about, you know, the just like a, when we were born, we, you know, I don't know how many times, I came from a large family. I didn't understand it as a kid then, but I remember my mother all of a sudden was saying, my water bag broke. And right away, boom, my dad's rushing her to the hospital, you know. Well, a lot of people take it that that's what he's talking about here, you know, that we're born of water, you know, the Spirit. Or some refer this to baptism, you know, that water baptism, that's what he's talking about. And there's people that really, in the churches today, have a misunderstanding of salvation and what baptism is, the relationship. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. And we have to separate that. Salvation is a work of God. Baptism to us is identification with Christ. Baptism to us is that when we've been born again, is that we want to take the first step of obedience and we want to go. And it says, if you've come to faith, then identify with that. You know, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, even though I was baptized as a Catholic when I was a baby, my parents had me baptized, but in this church, we believe in believer's baptism. And so that when a person comes to faith, when they're born again, the very first thing they're instructed to do is go get baptized, identify with that. I mean, we do that all the time. So it's not baptism he's talking to. He's not talking about when he's speaking of water and the Spirit, because salvation is strictly a work of God. When you get baptized, you do it on your own, or somebody else baptizes you. But it's not from above, is it? See, it's separate from salvation. So he's not speaking of that at all. He's speaking about the Word of God. The Word of God is always talks about it's a cleansing. You know, it's the Word of God that brings convictions to our hearts, does it not? It's the Word of God that instructs us about coming to faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and brings conviction to our hearts that we're sinners, that we're separated from God. It's the Spirit of God that brings conviction and says that it's not by works. It's not by, Nicodemus, your religion. You need to start all over. And here's how it gets started, Nicodemus. It's by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. And so the Spirit takes the Word, brings conviction to our hearts, and then when we respond to that by faith, then that's another gift of God. All of, every point of salvation is all workings of God's grace. Now, I don't want to get into this kind of discussion yet, but I'm just going to tell you. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in Him. Okay? we see the predestination or the election. Now, there's another time we'll speak about that, all right? But even the calling of God in our lives, we are called from Him. If when you got tugged in your heart and when you were convicted of your very fact that you were a sinner, this was God calling you to Himself. So every aspect of salvation is truly from above. Now, what did we see in the first chapter? Not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, but of God. Salvation is strictly of God. And that's why when you grab a hold of these truths, what it ought to do is really warm your heart to the standpoint that you say that, man, what a marvelous God of grace. See, that's what we talk about, the doctrines of grace. When you see that what Jesus did on that cross and you see was all for you, every sin that He paid for was for you. This is the marvelous wonders of God's mercy and grace to us. Amen? Turn with me over to 1 Peter. Just to your right of James there. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And look what he says right here. Look at verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, so that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now look at this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower therefore falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Amen? See, it comes by the word of God. So it takes the word of God when the sinner believes and imparts the life of God. And let's just kind of go through that, because what I want you to see is that in the new birth, if we are born again, we take on God's nature, don't we? And in a word, it really speaks about the fact that when we come to faith is that we need to feed on the Word of God, right? He talks about the milk of the Word, does he not? I mean, and that's why this is such a beautiful analogy, the birth. When he says that he's using the birth as a knowledge, is that, just like I said, we have two parents. We have the Word and the Spirit, okay? We're born again. We have a nature. When we're first born, I mean, do you recall the day that you came to faith in Christ? Can you go back to that time? Can you reflect on that? Do you remember how hungry you were? I mean... Gavin and Danette have a new grandchild, right? Praise God. What's the one thing that child does? Quack, quack, quack. I'm hungry. Feed me. Give me. Feed me. They don't care whether you got a night's sleep, whether you worked 12 hours that day. Am I right? Feed me. Takes on the, and that's how we were when we came to faith. God's nature came to us. We were born again. We were born of the Spirit. We have God's nature imparted to us. And it's a beautiful relationship. And we fed on the Word of God. I remember when that happened to me back when I was 25, I remember just telling the Lord at that time, you know, I didn't know where my life was going. None of us really do. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I remember committing myself to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what? I'm so thankful for the salvation you've given me. Now, I don't know where you're going with me in my life, but I'm committing myself to you. I'm entrusting my life to you. And I was a tool and die maker. I could remember being over in that building, and I had my own little bench there. Every tool maker had his own bench. He had his own toolbox. That was his little work corner. You know, we worked on all the machines and everything else, but when I had to read a blueprint or I had to check things out, I had my own bench there. I had all my tools. And I remember just praying that to the Lord, saying, Lord, if you want me to be a tool and die maker the rest of my life, I want to be the best I can for you. Now, I'd never prayed that before. Before, you know what, you know, tool makers were like? I'll tell you what they're like. I had a boss one time. He says, you guys are a bunch of prima donnas. You know, am I right?
You're right.
All right? You guys are a bunch of prima donnas, you know? Buzz. I'll just give you his first name, Buzz. Now, in our tool room, he was kind of like, he was the top tool maker. He got all the real tough jobs. And you know what? Buzz let you know that, too. When he got done with a job, he'd stand back. Look what I did. I mean, he'd almost announce it, you know. He got his picture done. It's all working together. And he'd stand back and he would say, and he would yell it out. Look what I did. Now, that's the old nature. But when God comes in your life, that changes. It's no longer all me and everything else. What can I get out of it? How can I look bigger? How can I look better? You know, at one time, I wanted to be better than Buzz. Because that's how you were. But when God came to my life, he says, Bill, you just sit there. And he kept me there. I'm telling you, he kept me there for a whole year in that little bench over there. And I was feeding on his word. I mean, I couldn't get enough. All my breaks, my lunches. I mean, he just kept me there. And he fed me and fed me. And that's what happens when we're born again. We take on the nature of God, but it's like a regular birth. We inherit our parents' nature. And so what we do is we are partakers of this divine nature. And we should have an appetite for the things of God. Now, if somebody tells you that they're born again or they've come to faith, but and that's why we're saying, you know, we're not the judge, but you'll know them by their fruits. And we don't want to give anybody any false hope, do we? But there ought to be real evidences. When a baby's born, there's evidence there's a baby in a house. And the same thing with us who are born again. There's evidence of that. There's a changed life. There's hunger. The divine nature, taken in the milk of the word until eventually we take in the meat of the word. And that's why it would tell us in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so that's what we call our sanctification. Regeneration is when the moment of salvation came when God gave you new life. When you became born again. What a wonderful position we have in Christ. Amen? That's what we are. We're in Christ. We're identified with Him. We're His children. But eventually those babies grow and they start to crawl and they get into terrible twos. You know, they get in. Oh, the teenage years, But at some point, they ought to give up childish things. And the same thing for us. There's a point when we need to grow up and mature as Christians. It's a terrible thing when we see people who have been Christians for years and they're still feeding on the milk and not on the meat. That's not what God intended. Well, let's move on. So when we think about it, let's go back to our text right here. Nicodemus must have had this bewildered look on his face when Jesus said to him, look at verse 7 again. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. 2nd one I want to see right here, he uses that of the second analogy. Look at verse 8. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, the word wind, and many times in Hebrew and also in the Greek, can be translated meaning spirit. Do you remember in the garden when, or back when God created Adam? He created him out of the dust of the ground. What did he do? He breathed. He breathed life into him. When Jesus, after his resurrection, and he appeared to his disciples, he breathed on them. Anointed them with his Holy Spirit. And so when Nicodemus wants to know, how can these things be? And he says, don't marvel at this. Particularly, Nicodemus, you ought to know this. I want you to go with me. Think about wind. Think about this. I can't see it. Can you see wind? You can see the effects of it, right? I mean, you know, when I'm on a golf course and I'm trying to understand, and by the way, I shouldn't even be thinking of this because I'm not good enough to downplay or play along where the wind is and make, you know, I had to just forget about that. I don't have that kind of shot. Ask Marcel, he'll tell you. All right, we've been on a golf course together, all right? I have no control whatsoever. I don't even know how to play against the wind, all right? But the wind is something is that it comes and goes. Sometimes it really rushes and we have windstorms and that. But you have no control over that, do we? I mean, man's been trying to control weather for how long? Right? So it comes and goes as it wills. Well, that's how the Spirit of God is. You know, and sometimes we feel that, you know, when we could be witnessing with somebody or we wonder, where is the wind? Am I right? But it's always there. In fact, when Jesus used this analogy, some really believe that he was probably up there on the housetop with Nicodemus. That was pretty common for them to do that. At the cool of the night, they'd walk up the stairs and go to the top of the roof. And can you imagine Jesus having this discourse with Nicodemus, watching the stars and everything else? And some kind of believe that, man, wind must have come by. And he says, it's like that, Nicodemus. That's how the Spirit works. You can't control it. But there's evidence of it. And so that's how it is with those. And then what I want you to do is, let's go back. We talked a little bit about this, but I want you to go back to Ezekiel. And let's touch base on this a little bit. Go with me over to Ezekiel. And we're going to see the effects of this analogy that he gives of the wind. First of all, look at Ezekiel 36. This is what I had alluded to earlier. And he says right here, a new heart also will I give you, verse 26 of 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I want you to notice the pronouns here, okay? I want you to know what God is saying. He's saying, I will give you a new spirit. I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is the work of grace. This is God's work. But then I really think that he's kind of, this is something that Nicodemus, now look at chapter 37. And you're all familiar with this scene, but I want you to notice every time he's speaking about, and here we're going to see it, the word of God, prophesy. Okay, speak. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones.
and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, I want you to think about this. This is the power of God. And that's why I'm saying, even in salvation, this is the power of God. You and I are dead before we came to know Christ. We're dead. And a dead man can't do one iota for himself. Somebody used this in an analogy one time that it's like somebody was in a swimming pool and they drowned and at the bottom of that pool. And they're going to remain there. They're dead. They can't do nothing for themselves. This is the same Jesus that we're going to see later on that he brings Lazarus from the dead who'd been in there for 4 days. He's already decomposing. They're saying, well, he already stinks. This is the power of God. And right here, Ezekiel's been given his vision. Look at these dead bones. Who could bring life but God? Amen? He says, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. See, faith comes what? By hearing. Prophesy and have these bones hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and shall live. Speak, prophesy, speak the word of God, and my spirit will come in and give life. That's the analogy that Jesus is using. And he's telling Nicodemus, you should know these things. And he says, I will lay sonus upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You see that? You can't know the Lord outside of being born again. I mean, we could go through all kinds of scripture, particularly in Romans, says that for us who have the Spirit, we have understanding. But those who don't have the Spirit are spiritually discerned. They can't understand these things. That's why to those who are lost, this is foolishness when you preach the gospel of the cross of Jesus. He said, I'll put breath in you, you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Drop down to verse 9. Then said he unto them, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon the slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Isn't that wonderful? Only God can do that. And this is what he's saying to Nicodemus. Let's wrap it up here. We have run out of time. What was the problem? Why couldn't he believe these things? Why couldn't he understand these things? They should have known this, right? Particularly this religious man. I don't have time to go there. We're going to have to close right here. But next week we'll touch on this a little bit. But I just want to close with this. You see, it came down to the point where he was pursuing what man thought was the way to God. All my efforts. I mean, certainly, Jesus, I'm coming to you. What do I just need? One more step, and I now have that assurance, and I have my heart opened up? Nicodemus. It's not religion. Religion will send you to hell. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Moses could speak out and say, see the salvation of God. And everyone who comes into the kingdom of God, we could look and say, praise God, look at the work of God. How many people do you know that you said, man, that person's beyond saving. I mean, they're so wicked. Or they're so religious as Nicodemus. But then we could look at that heart and say, praise be to God. Look at the work of God. But as we go through this, I mean, this conflict is going to continue to build, and we're going to see that. And we'll find out later that it's really, why do people not come to faith? Why won't they believe? Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They're still looking to say, look what I did. Look what I built. Look what I did. And God says it's for naught. You must be born again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the lesson this morning. Lord, I just pray more than anything else, Lord, that these truths that we're learning, Lord, it would just warm our hearts even more. To see the goodness and the mercy of God. To know, Lord, that what you have done to each one of us, Lord, none of us deserve this. Lord, I most certainly don't deserve any of this. But, Lord, you poured out your love into me. You poured out your love into us, Lord. The ungodly, your enemies, those, if we would have left to ourselves, would be on a road of destruction, messed up lives. Oh, thank you for this wonderful gift of grace. Thank you, Lord, that you could even look at a very religious man who thought he was just so close, and you could look right in his heart and tell this man, you must be born again. Lord, may we always carry this message with us, Lord, even to those that we witness to. Lord, not that we would be judgmental. Lord, we don't even know when the Spirit of God will come, when the wind will come and move. But Lord, you've asked us to be faithful in sharing the Word of God. Lord, just like this past week with all these children in this place, the Word was being taught and preached. And so we leave it to you, O God. We pray for these, Lord, that the Spirit of God will work and bring new life to these. Lord, even to our friends and families and our neighbors and our co-workers, God, may we be faithful. Not that we would go through life looking at, look what I did, but we would point them up and say, look what Christ did, to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.